Warning, the following content may contain elements that are not suitable for some audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
Live from NYC, human suplex machine, the one and only king. They stream it and they scream, it's the Taz Show. Everybody hacking, everybody just wants more with the action. Hip-hop Jones got the music blasting, better watch out, it's all he's asking. Over like Rover, he keeps it real, he's no joker. Original, he's no poser, no competition, he's the owner. There I'm moving speakers closer, cause it's time to tune in to the Taz Show.
Okay, here we go, a little live Taz Show action on this Thursday edition of the Taz Show coming at you. Be here for the next 2 hours live. I am live video right now, live video Skype, while the crew is in New York City in the studio. This will be a full throttle show discussing a lot of NXT. I watched the whole show. I have some things I want to say about it. A good amount of things, and you guys can interact in regards to that. And you can call the show at 866-475-2948. That's an 866-475-2948. You guys know the drill. Also, if you're listening live at TazShow.com, thank you very much. Maybe you're watching live at TazShow.com. Thank you for that. And all of you that watched on Facebook Live yesterday for the Express version, Express one-hour version of the Taz Show, which a lot of people seem to like. Thank that you did that. Thank you for doing that, I should say. And everybody who listens to the Taz Show every day on audio on demand or the podcast version, which you can do at TuneIn, Spotify, or, of course, the grand, high, exalted, mystic ruler known as iTunes. So where you should go review the show, this show, and put it over and put me over and give it 5 stars, 10 stars, hearts, checks, thumbs up. All this other happy horse shit that you could do on iTunes, you should be doing this for the Taz Show. Let's be honest. You're getting free lunches every single day. Nobody brings it like your boy. Okay? Let's be honest. Okay? Nobody. If you notice, the hand is almost back. It's just about back. Cast is gone. Lost some size in the forearm area for some atrophy. It'll be back. The muscle growth will be back. The gigantic Popeye forearms will be coming back. Like that, this one will be there. Podcast Jones gimmick Furnham's off, and now we got stitches are removed, which was not fun, but it's not that hard. This little nurse, very nice lady, she's talking to me, and then she takes the thing out. She does, and I'm like, I just got a hurt. I haven't had stitches out in a long time. No, it's fine. Bah, 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 every friggin' pluck. I have very sensitive hands, I guess. Still have some numbness going on down my arm, but not as much. So I got a little positive results from this surgery. So it's going to take months. It's a marathon, take two. It's a marathon, not a sprint, as the expression goes, in regards to my hand. But enough about my hand. Let's talk about stuff that needs to be talked about. Before I get rolling to NXT, I would like to give thoughts and prayers to all those folks down in the great states of Florida and the Carolinas. Some parts of Georgia, obviously in Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, Irma, this another hurricane. We're in hurricane season. The poor folks in Houston just dealt with this horrific, catastrophic, I think it was Harvey, I think the storm. Now Irma is going through, coming right up and starting really, it's going to start hitting the United States, the path that it's coming. So a lot of people get evacuating out of the Carolinas and Florida and stuff like that. You know, just get out of there, guys. Just evacuate and get safe. I mean, you guys worked hard for your homes and whatnot. Just it's, your lives are more important. So just while you can, get the heck out of those areas. If the authorities are saying evacuate, evacuate. So hopefully this storm, they say it's gigantic. I think it's still a Category 5. Hopefully it veers off and goes, I believe east would be the way to go. Yeah, obviously east, yes, I'm not looking at a map, but to go towards the water to disappear or break up or do whatever it is or just hit the water hard and avoid landfall, especially through the United States or any landfall in Bahamas, that whole area, man. I'm nervous for those people. I feel really worried for those people. It's horrendous. So just think of these people and say a prayer that this storm veers away and gets out of gets out of harm's way, you know, hopefully. Okay, so uncomfortable segue. Let me get into NXT here. So because I got, you know, a good amount of things I want to say about it. I thought the show was okay. I thought it was good. It wasn't like the greatest show ever, but I didn't hate it. You know, right out of the box, they started telling you about Asuka, that she's got something to say, her future. What's her future? Now, we knew due to the spoilers, and, well, the main spoiler came from WWE itself on WWE social media platforms. I think it was last week when this taping happened. I was concerned here to spoil anything, and then some of you fans were like, listen, dude, you know, it's WWE on their own social media spoiling it, and you guys are right, you know, and so I was like, all right, I'll talk about it. You know, Asuka is basically, in essence, retiring or leaving TNA, or TMA, how am I doing? Take two. Leaving NXT, the letters got confusing, leaving NXT and going to be in contract negotiations with William Regal, all in character, this is, negotiating for her with either SmackDown or Raw. So she's going to retire, in essence, from NXT as champ, okay? I got to be honest, first and foremost, I'm on the fence about this whole, right? I'm old school, you know, in a sense, the old school wrestling, me believes that, and the guy that's done this before, you pass the torch, you do the job on the way out the door, okay? You lose the match and lose the belt on the way out the door. I'm not blaming this girl. I don't even know this girl. I'm not blaming Asuka. It's the creative of it. I guess it's the booking. At the end of the day, the NXT, obviously Triple H makes the call. So I guess it would be Triple H's call and his writers or whatever. I don't agree with it. I would not have done it. If Triple H was on my show right now, I would tell him, man to man, bro, look, I love what you're doing with NXT. This deal here, not a fan. I mean, I that's the huge part of me feels like you got to pass the torch. You got to have to do the job just like you've done, Triple H, to pass the torch just like I've done, okay? You got to do that. But that's not what they're doing. Then there's the other part of me that's why I'm on the fence, that feels like, well, it's kind of cool, you know, that her send-off was very respectful towards her and what they did with the locker room, you know, trying to give that feel of the locker room saying goodbye to her, but I'll get into that in a little while here. But I'm kind of, like I said, on the fence from a creative standpoint. Is this the right way to go with Asuka? Should she have not done like so many before her, male or female, in any company, do the job on the way at the door? Again, not blaming Asuka. I'm on the fence. I really, last night, I thought about this before when I was show prepping for this show, I'm thinking, well, what's my stance on this? And I don't know. I usually go either, you know, white or black, yay or nay. Red or blue. I'm in the middle here in this. I really am. Because it was a cool moment, and also it's. I don't think they've ever done this in NXT before, with someone just undefeated, Jones. You know, big time. You know, talk about a push. You know, I mean, when they got Asuka from Japan, I remember, and they sold it. NXT sold it as a big acquisition, which it was, and they showed some video packaging on her from Japan, and then it was just rocket strapped to this girl's back, straight up, and they've done a great job with her, and she's done a great job, but she's also had some great ladies in the ring with her putting her over, which is a very important thing, a vital thing. That's what makes you. The writers can write what they want. Triple H can say what he wants to say. The announcers can hype you all they want. At the end of the day, you need opponents that are going to get your ass over. And she had that. She had a lot of opponents, Asuka, that got her ass over. She was able also to take the ball and run and score a touchdown with it. But you need that dance partner, and she's had. Asuka's been fortunate enough to have a lot of good dance partners. As far as the announcing, right out of the box, I had a little bit of an issue because I felt like, well, wait a minute. The social media, WWE social media spoiled this thing itself. And now the announcers are in a position where they kind of look like jabronis because they're not telling you either what she's going to say without upcutting her. They're not saying, they're not spoiling it for those that aren't on the internet or social media. Okay. I'm cool with that part. I've been in that position as a broadcaster for the WWE. I understand that. I've been in that position as a broadcaster for TNA. I know that position. And it sucks, and you know, because it could hurt your credibility when you're acting dumb to something that you know already happened. Now, I do think from a voiceover perspective, because it seems like these graphics that they're putting on the screen, because the show's obviously taped, Mauro Ranallo he's doing a voiceover. He's not doing that live to tape, the voiceover, for the graphic. Because there's two different ways that you could read that. When you're not doing a live show, there's two different ways to do a graphic. So the graphic comes, I'm teaching you now, okay? This is why I you know, there should be a subscription rate for this show, and I should charge you guys, to be honest with you. But yeah, a graphic comes up, okay? And there's two ways you could do this on a taped show, okay? You either read over the graphic and explain the graphic in post, which means post-production, which means not at ringside, or you do it, which we call live to tape, which means you sit ringside and you read this live to tape as the show's happening while you're there in the arena, not live on TV, live to tape. You guys are smart enough to know what I mean when I say that. What Mauro's doing here, it sounds like he's reading this in post. He's either going in the truck at a little sound booth, reading it, or at a studio someplace and reading these graphics, and they're taking a file, putting it in the show. That's how it's done, okay? He sounds like he's reading, I got to be honest. A lot of the graphics he does, and the other announcers, but not just him, but Mauro really comes off as he's reading. He's such a powerful voice, deep, powerful voice and presence on the air, Mauro, that when he does read a graphic and he's actually reading it, you kind of could tell. I was the same way. That's why I avoided reading stuff. Like, I would read what they wanted me to say or write my own stuff and then put it in my words without reading it, if that makes sense. Just so I could put Tazisms in there and slang it up a little bit so it didn't sound like I was reading canned shit. So I think that's the deal. The one thing for me, Mauro's reading these things. So I'm not knocking the guy. That's how they wanted to do the production. That's his job. He's doing his job. Cool. But what I think needs to happen, because the announcers usually have some control over how they read graphics. That's something I've never discussed here. Okay, announcers in WWE and TNA, well, GWF now, or whatever it's called today, have control over what's being said in graphics. Okay, for the most part. I mean, I've been micromanaging WWE as an announcer, never over graphics. I don't remember. I mean, maybe when I was working with JR or Michael Cole, they might have suggested something to me. Like, hey, maybe you should read this graphic this way. I'm going to go this way in this graphic. But from Vince or the office or writers, I really can't. I never thought of this. I really can't remember any time he's being micromanaged or told what to say over a graphic. I'm sure it's happened once or twice, but I can't remember. I really doubt that Mauro's being told what to say in his graphics. Here's my point. You got to sell me a little bit, brother. I mean, Mauro, you got to sell a little sense of urgency along with you and your partners. What the hell is this girl Asuka going to say? You can't just sell me in a monotone voice. Asuka, you know, she. What's her future? This is what they're saying. What? And, you got to tell me something without telling me something, okay? You know, this is apparently, this is going to be big. You guys are not going to want to miss this. This has never been done before here. What Asuka's going to say, almost like you're telling us you know without telling us you know, or without saying you know, if that makes sense to you guys that are listening or watching me right now. That's where I think they really missed the boat from that announce desk. WWE social media told the world what happened. The announcers got to be a little bit sharper on this situation. They didn't hype or sell the fact what Asuka was going to say. I need a little more speculation, guys. You got to speculate more instead of just saying, what's our future hold? It's generic blah. That's what it is. Generic blah. Stop. Sell me. Hype it a little. You know, even if you're voicing thing over at 2 p.m. in a sound booth, you got to bring that energy and you got to hype me a little bit on it. Stay consistent on the way you hype everything else in the show. That's my point on that. Okay. Why are you hating on Mauro? I'm not hating on him. I'm just making a suggestion how I think he should do his job better. That's just my perspective. Does Mauro work for me? No. Does Mauro give a shit what I say? Probably not. Should he give a shit what I say? I don't give a shit if he cares what I say. Okay, whatever. I don't care. I'm just being honest with you guys, giving you the best content I could give you about something that is, to me, one of the most important roles in any wrestling company, and that's as a color commentator or a play-by-play guy. So I have a lot of respect for what these men do, and at times women, in this case of Lita, which I did watch a little bit of the Mae Young classic yesterday, so I got to really listen closely to Lita working with JR, and it had a nice sound to it. It was pretty cool, and Lita brings a lot of credibility there. I stay consistent with what I said yesterday. Just a side note, I think her voice, if it was a little bit more projecting, it'd be good, but her insight into what's going on in the ring is excellent. As a former, as a Hall of Famer, as a former champion, as a real credible female, she brings the wood. Great job. So it's good to hear JR in there too. So anyway, back to my point. So that's my deal in the announcing right at the top of the show. So, you know, most fans, I would think, as soon as they put the show on, they don't hear this. You know, they see a graphic with a picture of Asuka holding holding the NXT women's title, and they see a text, you know, font that says something like, you know, what's next for Asuka, whatever it said. And you hear Mauro saying, what's in store for her? Something like that. What's next for her? Whatever the line is. And you guys move on. You want to see the first match. You don't care most of the times when you watch the show, and you shouldn't care. I urge you not to care. You should not dissect stuff like that, because your instincts would not jump to you usually, because you really don't have instincts on that because you haven't done it, right? Now, it's not me being condescending. I'm being honest. It's my job to tell you, okay, hey, look, this is where they messed up from an experience perspective, how I would have done it better. So that's my perspective on it. And this was the thread through the whole hour. You know, when they had graphics up and they did pepper you and sell you, which was right, that Asuka had something to say, that Asuka was going to be there. She closed the show, okay, which I think was the right thing to do. But, you know, they did sell you what these reads, these voiceovers, the same way every time. And it got like, you know, if you're watching NXT, right, let me just, and then I'm putting this topic to rest. Sorry, I'm like a dog with a bone here, but I think you guys will like my perspective here on this. Here. If you have, and you're a fan, or you watch NXT, okay, there's a good chance, water break, apologize, there's a good chance, not a good chance, there's a great chance, there's a 100% chance that you have the WWE Network, because that's the only way to watch NXT. So if you have the WWE Network, now I think you could go into good chances. There's a good chance that you're a fan that's part of the wrestling community online. No matter if you're a hardcore fan that reads, you know, insider reports or listens to my show or follows me on social media or follows other former wrestlers or former announcers in wrestling, that you have a social media presence as a fan. There's a good chance of that if you have the WWE Network. And we know there's a 100% chance, as I just said a second ago, that if you're watching WWE Network, I'm sorry, if you're watching NXT, that you have the WWE Network. Therefore, you probably follow, this is the part that's important, WWE, you probably follow the WWE social media accounts, either one of the WWE Twitters, either on Facebook or either on Instagram, somewhere in one of these massive platforms that WWE has, because every one of the WWE social media platforms have massive amount of followers. Millions. Tons. You know what I mean? Why are you kayfabing the people that already know what the hell's going on? I'm not saying the announcer should come out and say, you guys heard about it, and now you're going to witness it. Asuka steps down as champ and retires from NXT as champ, and she's going to go to the Raw SmackDown. I'm not even suggesting Mauro does that. What I am suggesting is, don't play me like a friggin' idiot over here as a fan. You know, don't have your announcers talk down to me, and Mr. Announcer, don't talk down to me. Give some respect to the intelligence of the member of the wrestling community online, because that's who your audience is in regards to NXT. There's less casual fans and more online fans. That's a fair assessment right there. And that's also a shoot, as we would call it. So all I'm saying is, give some respect to that, and don't play people dumb. That's all. Just, you could tease me. Don't work me. Okay? That's all I'm saying. Just give me a little tease and build it. Hype it. The fact, what this girl's going to say. Most of you have heard about it. You probably know already. Now you're going to get to witness it. Never been done before. What you're about to witness, this will go down in history. This is the first time ever. Sell me. You guys love it in WWE. You love the first time ever stuff. This was the time to do it, right? Because I don't think this ever happened unless, I don't know. I'm looking around the cave studio. I don't see anybody here, so nobody can answer me. But I'm just saying, I don't think this has ever been done before, ever. So, anyway, dog with a bone. I'm all over it, just because it was something that I've been looking to say since I watched the show last night. If we could just fast forward to that moment. So when Asuka comes out, William Regal brings her out. It was done very classy, very respectfully. I liked that a lot. I thought it was cool. I liked that Asuka, even though she doesn't speak perfect English, you could tell her passion. Even though English is a second language to her, her passion came across to the fans, kind of to the locker room, but to the company and to NXT, how much she loves NXT. She kept saying it, and how she's grown in NXT, which she has, you know, as a performer, she's grown. I thought that was all really cool. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed her promo. Sold a hand right there. No cast. So when I put it down, I was like, that hurt. So tender. Tender palm, they call that. Tender palm. Looks like nothing. It actually hurts like a bitch. Big incision in there, guys. So here's the thing. A passion came across. It seemed like she's going to miss NXT. I really like, now a lot of times I give the fans a full sail, a hard time. I kind of bury them sometimes, let's be honest. With all the chants, they get on my nerves. But I have to tell you, if you're a fan that was in attendance there, and you're listening or watching me right now, that was really cool when, I think it was Regal, mentioned that he is in negotiations on behalf of Asuka with SmackDown Live and Raw. And you guys popped in full sail. I thought that was a really cool moment. And it was a very unselfish moment. The fans didn't boo in full sail. They loved watching her perform. But they were happy for Asuka that she was moving up. I thought that was a cool moment. I think that went over a lot of people's heads. It didn't go over my head. You know, so I just did. I thought that was a cool moment. I think that's something that needs to be talked about in a positive way. Because it was very cool. That the fans in full sail, who could be some of the most annoying people in wrestling ever, let's be honest. That was a cool moment. It was an unselfish moment. It was not an entitled moment. It was respect towards this girl who's had, what they say, like over 500 days she's been undefeated or whatever, as champ, or whatever the heck it was. That's insane. That's amazing. That's great. I mean, it's a work. It's a push. they could do that with anyone. Just keep the belt on someone. We know that. But it shows confidence in this girl. It shows confidence in her ability. That's what it shows. You know, even though it's a work, it shows that they believe in Asuka. The office and the fans supported her, no matter if she was heelish at times or babyface usually. So, but the fans popping like they did when the word SmackDown and Raw came out that they're going to Regal's going to negotiate on her behalf. I thought that was really cool. It felt real, you know, and it felt like the fans were giving love towards her, towards Oscar about it. I really enjoyed that. I thought that was a cool moment. So, Ember Moon coming out, I thought was a nice touch. It kind of gives her the rub a little bit. I would have went a little bit more with it. I wouldn't have had Triple H come out after Ember Moon. I would have had Triple H come out, which was a cool moment, give the flowers to her, and then Ember Moon comes down. And you don't know what's going to happen. That's kind of a soft rub to Ember Moon. That's what I would have done. Because someone needed the rub here. They kind of gave it to Ember Moon, and that was it. Look, I'm not opposed if they went a whole different route. You know, we'll have Sonya Deville, you know, just hit the ring, go to shake a hand, or some of the girls go down there and have Sonya Deville kick her head off and leave with the heat and let Oscar go out selling. Yeah, he didn't do the job. He didn't lose a match, but I just knocked your ass out, and now I'm getting a big push. That's really the rub. Or have Ember Moon do something like that, but Ember Moon's more babyface. I got it. I don't know. I would have went that way a little bit more extreme. They wanted to go the route of give her moment, let her leave on top. And again, I said I'm on the fence on that. It was cool. I don't want to piss on it, but it was cool. But I definitely would have had Triple H come out first, then Ember Moon. That's how I would have done it. Instead, they went the route of Ember Moon, and then Triple H comes out. You know, I'm glad Triple H didn't come out to his music. I think that was a good move by Triple H not to do that. Because he has the final say in that, obviously. So I thought that part was going to at least give this girl her spotlight, and Triple H did that, you know. But I do think that I would have, you know, I kind of would have went the route of I would have went a little different. I would have went with the route with, you know, have Ember Moon or Sonya Deville, one of those girls, or Ruby Riott's a babyface too, but somebody do something to this girl and bump her where Asuka can't get any receipt. She's done. She moves on. Got to get guys over. Got to give the rub. Now we're going to probably get a tournament, which is fine. Tournament for the NXT Women's title. That's fine. They got enough girls. Let's see what happens. I'm going to break here, guys. I'm going to break right here. Okay, other side of break. We'll probably be on Facebook Live at facebook.com/TazShow. And I got a question for you. Who is the most unique looking guy in the whole WWE? Who has the best look? I'm going to tell you on the other side of break here on the Taz Show.
Network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All righty. We are back here on the Taz Show, and business here in a sec that I'm going to tell you about the most unique looking guy, I think, amongst all of WWE. But first, I want to let you guys know that the support for the Taz Show, support for the Taz Show, comes directly from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. And you guys know they're a big supporter of the show, therefore I am a supporter of them because I believe in what they do. They support and understand the show, and I understand that they want you people, okay, in your life, in your family, not to go through a hassle to get a loan or refinance your house, okay, or something like that, whatever it is. They want to make life easy on you. So Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home, or like I said, refinancing your existing home or house, home loan, I should say. It's simple. That's the best part. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan is very simple, and, we've had people call the show and compliment them how easy they are to do business with, how simple they make this scary process of refinancing your home or getting a mortgage, you know, for a new house. You know, we've had this. We've had people call. We're real people. Okay, no joke. You people. So Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently, and to get started, please go to rocketmortgage.com/TAZ. That's rocketmortgage.com/Taz. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 33. So, as I was saying before we went to break, and by the way, I believe we are on Facebook Live at facebook.com/TheTazShow. So I want to say hello to all you folks on there. If you missed the first segment, I was talking a lot about Asuka and NXT and what happened last night, and that she stepped down, about kind of leaving the brand to go to Raw SmackDown, and she's leaving undefeated as champ. So I gave a lot of full thoughts on that. Look, there's this cat we've heard talked about on my show, and you guys know who he is. I'm a mark for this guy. I haven't talked him up too much, but I'm going forward. Lars Sullivan. Okay, this is the guy here, okay, who is, in my opinion, the most unique guy in the whole company. Forget NXT, the whole company. This guy is, it's, you see this guy walking in an airport, or you see this guy walking in a grocery store in street clothes, and you don't know who he is, you're going to be like, okay, look, I know that guy right there is not just some regular guy. I know that guy is not a school worker. He's probably not a construction worker. He's probably not a hedge fund banker, okay? He's probably not an attorney either. He's got to be like a football player or a rugby player or a pro wrestler. He's got a look. When you look at his face, his body, his hands, his arms, how long they are, how thick his back is. Look, we've seen muscular guys and girls for years in pro wrestling. There's no doubt about it. Am I saying he's the most muscular guy ever? No. Am I saying he's got the best physique ever? No, I'm not saying that. What I'm telling you about Lars Sullivan, he has the most unique and probably the best look for a killer heel, not kick-ass heel, killer heel. This is a guy that you can put the proverbial rocket on. Lars Sullivan. Hey, he's in the right place right now, learning there. He's good. He's good now. He's good. Got to get a little better. He's not far off. This kid is intense. He, his facial expressions are just tremendous. He's an ugly son of a bitch, and that's the key. That's the key. He's not some pretty looking guy. And his the way he moves, just look at this guy. He looks like he could tear your head off. The announcing did a great job on promoting and selling this guy as a nasty-looking son bitch and as a scary MF-er. Okay, they did a great job of that, and you got to keep doing that with this guy. You got to use adjectives to sell this motherfucker because he's a badass dude, okay? What I would avoid if I'm you, NXT, okay, avoid putting a mic in this guy's face where someone's interviewing him. If you do, they should be terrified. Have it be a woman. Have it be a smaller girl. Don't have it be a guy, because if it's a guy, he should beat the piss out of him. Okay, keep it simple with this guy. Don't make him like everyone else. Don't do what Raw did or with Braun Strowman, where they're just giving him a mic. They're treating him like a regular wrestler. They're pushing Braun, great, don't get me wrong. But they're kind of getting away from that unique, this guy's a freak type thing. And they did that the other night with the monster of all men, Braun Strowman, about talking about him on social media. He shouldn't be on social media. And somebody tweeted me, well, what do you want him to be like in a cave, in a basement, and just let him out? Yeah, kind of, yeah. I want, if you're going to work me, I want to be worked a little bit without being insulted. Make him a freak. Make him a killer. And Lars Sullivan, do that with him. Do that with him, for sure. I like the booking. Putting him against three guys and him just destroying three guys, I thought was excellent. And he did a great job. And those three kids he worked with all did a really good job and bumped well for him and did a good job in their role. It's a sucky role. You know, you show up to work and maybe get booked or something, and you know, you're going to work underneath, put somebody over. Then you got to put one guy over with two guys on your team. It kind of sucks. But I think of that stuff, of the guys doing those jobs. One thing to do a job one-on-one. Then you got two other guys on your team. Sucks if you're them. You know, handicap match Jones, you know, shitty deal. But for Laws, it's great. I mean, it's great. I mean, they're pushing him. That's the right way to push him. What I didn't like, okay, was when No Way Jose came out. I have no problem with Jose coming out. I have a couple problems with the promo, because you have Jose say, you attacked me weeks ago in Brooklyn. Well, Jose, why did it take you this long to get your receipt or come out and get in this guy's face if you're a babyface? Not Jose's fault. Because I'm going to talk about somebody else that they're doing that with that's really bad. And I'll get into that in a little while on this show here, okay? But now Jose comes out there and says that in his promo, gets in the face. They get into a little bit, Jose and Lars. And what does Nigel say? A heel commentator should say. Nigel says, Jose's getting what he deserves. He's getting his ass kicked or whatever. He wasn't even in this match. He stuck his nose in where it don't belong. Here's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. This is where the problem lies. Go back and watch this match, okay? Listen to Nigel say what he said. He said the right thing. Jose getting involved, he's getting what he deserves. He don't belong in the match. He wasn't in the match. Nigel's right, halfway. He's a heel, so he's got to say he's getting what he deserves. The other two guys, okay, Percy and Mauro, did nothing to protect the babyface from a commentary perspective. I sat in my house. I'm like, whoa, are you freaking kidding me? If I would have did that, or Michael Cole, when we were the SmackDown team, we would have got chewed out. And that's a posted show. That's not live. That would have been fixed. Holy shit. I couldn't believe my ears. How do you not, your Mauro or Percy, not say, well, wait a minute, okay? Jose came out here to get even, or as Mauro would say, get a receipt, because he uses the word receipt, to get a receipt on what happened at Brooklyn with Lars. That's why he came out here, Nigel. You protect the babyface, because the babyface can't protect himself because he's in the friggin' ring with no live mic. Come on. It's announcing 101, dude. Who's producing these guys? These are comments that will keep yours truly out of the WWE Hall of Fame, I promise. These are also things you will not hear on Dancing on the Table, and you will not hear anywhere else. It's honest, true, unfiltered passion about let's get over guys the right way. I don't understand how you have three announcers. One does their job as the heel in Nigel. And not one, but the other two guys don't protect the babyface in Jose. No Way Jose. How? How does that happen? It's just mind-boggling for me. Mind-boggling. I don't understand. I really don't. I don't understand. It really is. It just throws me for a loop. It's so easy to do. It's so easy to do. Nigel, I don't know if Nigel meant to do it or not. He set the babyfaces up to protect them. Maybe somebody fed Nigel that line, but you guys better worry about feeding the other two guys because they're not doing errand. You got to protect the baby face. Holy crap. It's huge. That's everything. If the baby face don't have credibility and a set of balls, what are you doing? I'll just, you know, some might say, oh, dude, you're really passionate about this. Yeah, I am, because it's very important. And when I was a young commentator, I got my ass reamed for it, you know, so... It should have been Reem. Seriously. I don't know, man. Sometimes I think that it's just everything's so it's just kind of different. It's like everybody's just, I don't want to say going through motions, but everything's so like regimented and plastic. That's the word. It might not make sense when I say plastic, but to me it does. Like it just seems so just no one has an opinion, like from an announcing perspective, even on the main shows, no one has like a real perspective or a real opinion. And look, I understand about being produced. I've been produced a whole bunch as an announcer, and you got to produce announcers. I get that. I have no problem with that. But holy crap, man. You got to protect the babyface. I don't know if you need someone feeding you or not, dude. I would hope that you don't. need somebody feeding you, that you should be smart enough to know that. Again, just being blunt. I mean, I'm coming off disrespectful, which I don't mean to do, but I'm just being honest. I really am. I don't understand. I don't understand. This thing, my audio came on my computer. Sorry. I don't understand why that would happen. Why? I don't understand how you don't protect the baby face. It's like that jumped out to me when I was taking notes for my show. I put it in bold, underlined, italic, friggin' red. and when I make something red in show prep, you know I'm serious, okay? Rick Flynn, I should say, on Facebook Live, because I'm on Facebook Live right now, said, not rocket science. Correct. It's not. Giovanna Holmes, Taz, very honest on everything. Yes, in regards to this here, I cover wrestling the right way. This is how you got to cover it. You got to be blunt. You got to be honest. Yes, I am the best. I know I am. And thank you. I am the best ever. I know I am. Thank you, sir. Or ma'am. Thank you. Whatever you want. Let's go to the phones here. First caller of the day. We are going to go to Dustin in Oregon. Dustin, how are you, buddy? You're on the Taz Show. What's up, Haas?
Good. How are you?
Good, bud. Talk to me. What's going on, man?
Oh, nothing. Before I get going, I just want to say thank you for taking my call. I have a lot of respect to you, and congratulations on all your success.
Well, thank you, Dustin. Yeah. Very kind of you. I appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
Yeah, and so I just wanted to talk about the Oregon-Nebraska game coming up on Saturday.
Oh, when I saw you from Oregon, I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, what do you think? How do you think it's going to go?
I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. I wish that, I'm not a guy who hates on Oregon. Who doesn't like the Ducks? I mean, the baddest uniforms in the world. I mean, bad meaning good. But, yeah, man, I got to say, Nebraska, even though I'm a fan, they struggled a little bit last week with an Alabama State, which you wouldn't think is a good program to the level of these programs. I think that Oregon, I don't know the spread on this game. Dennis, if you know the spread, chime in and tell me the spread because I don't know it. I would think that Oregon probably is. Do you know the spread, Dustin? Because I don't.
No, I don't. I know that it's really close, though.
Yeah. I hate to say it. I got a feeling I would give the edge to Oregon. I didn't see them play this year, but I did see Nebraska play. Last week, like I said, against Alabama State, and I was kind of impressed with them, but not as impressed as I would hope to have been. Let's put it that way. So I think Nebraska, I like Coach Riley. I think he does a great job. But that Oregon program a few years back, as you probably know, was red hot. And then when Mariota was the quarterback and all that, and then they started to die down a little bit for the past couple of years. Maybe this is the come-up year. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, but I think we're going to be pretty good in the next few years. We already have the number 5 draft or recruit class for next season.
For next season. Okay, yeah, well, there you go. I mean, are they still, I don't know, is Oregon still a Nike school?
Oh, yeah, forever and always.
Because what's his name? What's the guy's name? Knight, the guy who owned Nike. He went to Oregon, I believe.
Phil Knight. Yeah. Both co-founders of Nike went there.
Okay, I didn't know that. I knew the guy Knight was. So they get all the cool, badass uniforms. Kids like that. Kids like the swag. You know, athletes love that. I mean, you know, my kids the same way. So I get it, man. So we'll see. I give the edge. Thanks for calling, Dustin. I appreciate it. I kind of give the edge.
Every day.
you too, buddy. You too, man. I kind of give the edge to Dustin. How am I doing? To Oregon. To Dustin's Ducks of Oregon in that game. I hope I'm wrong. So that's the deal on that. Thanks for the points, but that's appreciated. What else we got there? We got, I was talking about Lars Sullivan. Okay. I was talking about No Way Jose. I was talking about how you got to get this guy over for sure. He's a killer. We know that. He's a killing machine. We know that. You got to protect Jose. You know, that's important. And like I said, that's the one thing that just jumped out to me. That part. It just Tony Tororo on Facebook Live, by the way, for those that care. 13.5 favorite for the Ducks. Yeah, I had a feeling. I did not know it was that much. And thank you, Tony. Tony Tororo, the new producer of the Taz Show. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it. I guess your internet works faster than the one in Manhattan. That's another story. We got Matt Sims on here. Said, hey, May Young, thoughts on May Young Classic. Yeah, I was going to get into that in a second or two. I was still talking about NXT, but I don't mind getting to that for a second. Let's go. Before I do that, I'll take another call here. Let's go to Matt in San Antonio, Texas. Matt, you're on the Taz Show. What's up? Matt. Matt going once. Matt going twice. And Matt, thanks for coming. We were just getting to know each other. Matt is gone. So here's my thoughts on the Mae Young Classic. I hadn't really got a chance to watch a lot of it. Yesterday, I got to watch probably a few matches, probably right after NXT. And I enjoyed it. I thought it was cool. It was nice to hear JR. I don't really watch the much of the New Japan stuff, so it was nice to hear JR again. Like I said before, I thought Lita did a good job. She sounds good. She's given, like, legit insight. So that's cool. I like that. And, you know, some of the girls that are in there are legit. Candice LeRae looked real good. And now she did not advance. She lost to, what's that girl, the MMA girl? I'm trying to remember her name. She lost the MMA girl that Ronda Rousey was in the audience with her other friend. And they're building this thing up. It'll come to me. But I enjoyed it. I mean, I didn't what's her name? She's Queen of Spades. God, it's coming to me. I can see her face. Tough girl. Oh, Lizette Austin on Facebook Live. Thank you. Shayna Baszler. Yes, that's it. You know, I think that girl needs to work and get better a little bit. Her work rate, Mark Lowe, thank you. I got it. Shayna Baszler, thank you. LeRae's a real pro. She helped that match. The finish was cool on that match. Okay, how she came off the top. LeRae did for like an armbar, and then the other chick caught her in a rear naked choke, got the wrap the legs in and stuff like that. I thought that was cool. I liked it. I mean, I liked it. I think I'm going to check out more. I'm going to watch the next round. I think they're in the semifinals now, so I might start jumping on it and watching it. You know what I mean? I'm definitely going to watch that. I'm going to watch it more, I should say. Gavin Fletcher on Facebook Live. Why do you think the special work better the – what the heck? What's going on here? He's got too many things in there. Taz, bless you for being polite and professional as you are as an announcer. Get you angry, tongue-tied, biting Jones. Okay, I must have read his thing wrong. Why do you think special work better than pay-per-views? I don't know what that means. I think he wrote his question wrong. Or there's too many thoughts coming up. Or it's going too fast. If you're listening to audio on demand, sorry, because that last 30 seconds sucked by me because I was trying to, you know, figure out what the hell the guy was saying while he was typed. While it was typed, I should say. So also I want to talk about, you know, I might not have time to do it now. Probably do it at the top of the hour or on the other side of the break. Is getting to talk about Sonya Deville versus Zeta on NXT, and a little bit about Otami versus Ono. Talk a little bit about that. But I'm going to go to break right now, kids. On the other side of break, at the top of the hour, 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. I got a question. Revenge still not gotten for this one guy in NXT. Who is he? And why is it vital he should have gotten his revenge by now? I'll tell you that here on the Taz Show. Be right back.
Network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Okay. 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. Taz Show here. I want to make a correction on an Oregon spread versus the Brass Thorn Huskies. Tony Torero, nice try. You are not going to be a piece. You were wrong, sir. It's a 7.5 point, and Nebraska. I prefer that's what I researched on one of the CBS sports apps. I have like 6,000 of them, so I checked one of them. So I'm gonna go with that. Maybe that's wrong. Does Anthony have a mic?
What's up, boss?
Do you want to spread on this game?
I saw 14 for it. But
who was
say that one more time? Who was favorite? It was Oregon, but now I'm seeing the same thing you were seeing on CBS, the 7.5 with Nebraska.
Maybe Tony wasn't right. Well, it wasn't wrong, I mean. Maybe I just took a shot at him for no reason. That could be. All right, Dan. Thanks for joining the show. All right, so there you go. Anthony, video producer extraordinaire. We'll get to the phones in a second here. But I wanted to tell you guys real quick about, I said to you before I was going to break, about someone that needs to get some revenge up at his bitch last night at NXT. Well, who is that? Okay, who is that? I'll tell you who it is. It's the NXT champion, Drew McIntyre. When is he going to get his receipt, as the word goes, on the friggin' heels? Cole Fish O'Reilly. When is that going to happen? When are you going to give him a chance to get even with those guys? It's too long already. It's been a couple of weeks. You know, we have William Regal say, hey, look, we're not going to have any more of Cole O'Reilly and Bobby Fish jumping wrestlers anymore, jumping people. You got to compete in the ring now. Enough of this. Dude, you got to let your champion, nevertheless, babyface, strong babyface, that's his gimmick, Drew McIntyre. You got to let him get even. You got to let him get a receipt. What are we doing? How are we making our new champion? Are you kidding me, guys? Come on. Come on. More comments that'll keep me out of the WWE Hall of Fame. And I do it all for you guys. Do it all for you. Yeah, that's it. I don't understand how you do this. I don't get it. I don't get it. I have no problem with Drew McIntyre not being on the show. Okay, I have no problem with that. But don't bring attention to those heels, okay, without mentioning McIntyre, getting his receipt, or hearing from McIntyre somewhere, something. Maybe he's doing a promo. I'm sorry, maybe he's doing an appearance somewhere or something, and he couldn't be at the show. Have a taped comment from him, or have Mauro read something on Twitter from this kid, from McIntyre. Something. You got to do something to keep him strong. It's so important. He's the new champ. He just came off TNA or Impact or GFW, whatever it is. He just came off their TV, and now he's the champ. Like, not out of overnight, but I'm exaggerating, obviously. Do something with him. Let him get a receipt. Let him get even. God. I don't get it. Seriously, I don't understand that. It's mind-boggling to me. Mind-boggling. Let's go to Chi-Town on the phones here to Victor in Chicago. You're on the Taz Show. What do you say, Haas?
What's up, Taz? Good moment.
Good moment, Victor.
Hey, I got a quick question. A couple quick questions for you, and I'll let you go. What would you be, I know 9 months in, what would be your match of the year? You can pick from any company, and then your performer of the year. Just curious to see what you have to say about that.
Vic, you're not going to like my answer, son. Here's the thing, bro. I'm serious. I'm serious, man. I it's tough for me to do that. I don't – like, it's going to sound weird, Victor, right? I'm not one of those guys. No disrespect to no one. Like, I don't think of what's the best match, who's the best performer, I can't give you an answer, and I'm being honest with you. I just can't. I could sit here and bullshit you, but I don't want to do that. I don't look at wrestling. I don't watch shows like that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I don't, when I watch a match, I see things different. So I don't think about what happened yesterday. I move on. You know, that's rearview mirror to me. And I respect all wrestlers and what they're trying to do, male or female, no matter what company they're in or brand or whatever. So it's tough for me to say that. Now, we do a top 10, do fantasy draft on the show. We do that, and we'll do best wrestler of the year, whatever. So we'll probably do that towards the holidays when I put some real thought into it. But I usually, like, off the top of my head, Victor, like, it's tough for me to give that. I will say, if you said, like, who's getting the opportunity to work a lot of big matches and scoring touchdowns when they get that opportunity, I would say probably right off the top of my head, John Cena. I mean, they're deeming him Big Match John, and he's been deemed that for quite some time. And they, you know, he's obviously getting ready to ride off into the sunset, I keep saying, to Hollywood, but we'll see. He's still sticking around, but he's been in a lot of huge matches. That doesn't mean I think he's the best worker, but he's been in no matter if it's politically or not, he's gotten himself in position, or the company put in position, to have a plethora of really big matches. So right off the top of my head, I think Kevin Owens as a performer is phenomenal, Victor. Well, you as a fan, what about you? What would you say?
You know what? One that sticks out is that tag team match. And I guess I'm a little biased because I was there for NXT TakeOver here in Chicago with the Authors of Pain and Gargano and Ciampa. I thought that one really stands out. It was an awesome match, even for a tag team match.
That was a great match. But hold on. But Vic, you just said it, and you're right. That you were in attendance makes it even better. I watched it from home, and it was a great match. Don't get me wrong. I loved it. I did. But when you're there, it does feel different. You know what I mean? I got to tell you, Victor. Victor, check this out. When I was an announcer and I'd be ringside, it felt like every match was a great match. And I'd go home and watch it back or check it out in the studio, and I'm like, oh, that match was so-so. When you're there, especially as a commentator, you have to get into it. That's your job, you know? And they all feel great. You know what I mean? But and I cut you off. And who would you say as far as performer? Because you asked me the question, so I'll turn it back on you.
You know what? I'm a big Kenny Omega overall. So if we're looking at every single company, I think, you know, he's been, he sticks out a little bit for me. Then again, I'm a little old school in regards to, like, you know, the matches. The in-ring product is what I like.
Well, and thank you for calling, Victor. I appreciate it, dude. And there aren't many better than Kenny Omega. And I believe he's a little banged up, his knee or something like that. Kenny's been on the Taz show here before. I'm a big fan of his work. He is, from an athletic standpoint, performing perspective, he's amazing. I mean, geez, the guy's amazing. But I think he's going to be sidelined for a little bit. I believe he got a little bit of an injury right now. But, yep. But, again, it's tough for me to give, you know, my thoughts on that. On Facebook Live, we got Horst Denson saying, hey, Taz, can you make a comment on Craig Carton? I can't. I really don't know what to say. For those that know what happened, Craig Carton of Boomer Carton Show, works for CBS also, obviously on WFAN, was involved, apparently, allegedly involved with some kind of a gambling scheme or something. So it's none of my business. My interactions I ever had with Craig were always real cool, and always got along great with him. So I really can't know what to say. There's nothing for me to say about it. You know, I don't know him that well. I feel for his wife and kids. It sucks, the situation, but that's all I could say about it, dude. So sorry I got more for you on that, Haas. And your name is Haas, which is pretty funny. Let me go to another call here real quick on the phone lines here. Mr. GQ, you were on the Taz show. What do you say to that, big guy?
Hey, good moment, Taz. How you doing, man? Long time.
Yeah, long time, Mr. GQ. I remember you. What's going on, kid?
Just doing some electric out here in Middletown right now.
Oh, I'm very proud of you. That's very nice. What's going on, Bob? Talk to me.
I finally was able to catch up to Raw, and watching Enzo as a Happy Jack kind of makes me want to see him turn into a Madoff.
Hold on. I like how you're using Markology language already. That's well done. Continues.
Yeah, I took a bad boink earlier today when I got out of the car. It was I don't know, nothing was that good.
You're getting them all in. I like it. I like it.
I did, honestly, I did like the Trump terminology right away when you said it.
Heel. Yeah, Trump. Hello.
Oh, everyone knows. Everyone knows he's the back part of your foot. You know what I mean?
Even people who like him.
Exactly. So. Exactly. But I just wanted to get your opinion on do you think he would actually become more popular as a Madoff than and with the kids even.
Well, who are you talking about, Enzo?
Yeah.
Oh, you're saying, do I think he'd be? I missed the first part of what you say. So you're asking me if I think.
Well, because with the matches right now, sorry to interrupt. With the matches right now, he's coming out, you know, doing the promos as a Happy Jack and all that. But at the end, he's just straight Madoff with the win. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think 205 Live is perfect, GQ, Enzo. They're building this thing around him, in essence, and I really think he's going to get that title from Neville. I wouldn't do it right away, like I said the other day. I would build a program with these two guys. Maybe there's something there. You know, Neville's a tremendous worker in the ring, where Enzo's got to get better. And believe it or not, I do think Enzo can get better working with a guy like Neville, because Neville will control his body. And not to pull back the curtain too much. And thanks for calling, Mr. GQ.
No
but
problem.
That's from an in-ring, pull-the-curtain-back perspective with Enzo in NXT. Now, from a character perspective and injecting life into NXT, I'm sorry, into 205 Live, injecting life in there, I would say Enzo is the proper syringe and serum and injection. How's that for some medical talk for you? So, yeah, I would say he's the perfect injection that 205 Live needs, and I mean that. So I think it's good for Enzo's career. I think it's good for 205 as a whole. I wouldn't make it too much promo long heavy like he normally does. I would back him off a little bit on some of his time. You let him talk. That's a lot of real estate he's getting to utilize on the microphone. I think the real fans who really love 205 want to see that X Division style, high spot fast type thing, which I'm a fan of too. Maybe incorporate some Japanese strong style with some lucha, you know, and just that. Like I keep saying, X Division. I thought the X Division, I know while I was in TNA, I had the opportunity to call so many X Division matches, was some of the greatest stuff you ever saw. If you like in-ring stuff and you're not familiar with TNA X Division from back in the day, go find that shit on YouTube, okay? It's pretty good. It's real good. And you'll see some great guys that were, I think, former X Division champs. I think AJ Styles is a guy that most of you know. Was an X Division champ, I believe. I think Samoa Joe, who was not a cruiserweight or a lightweight guy, was an X Division champ, I believe. I'm usually not good with, unless I'm reading it, of course, who were champions were, like history like that. I'm not that great at it. But some of you guys on Facebook Live can tell me if I'm right at that. I think AJ was a X Division champion, and I'm pretty sure that Joe was. I'm pretty sure of that. But point is, the X Division was phenomenal. So I think that any way, not to hack or copy, that the WWE can learn a little something from the way X Division was done and do that with 205 Live, I think it would help. No need to go crazy on the promos with a guy, okay, like Enzo. Let him do some promos. That's cool. But, Stephen Griffin, AJ was a Grand Slam champion. That's right. So that means he did win the X Division. Chris Che, X Division is awesome on Facebook Live. Thank you. Jeffrey Clark, I like turtles. Taz, no one cares. Yes. So, I think that David King, yes, AJ was. Thank you. And Joe, I think Samoa Joe was an X Division champion. John Dean says, what is the definition of the X Division? Well, the X Division was, I guess you would put it in a perspective of, it's kind of like the X Games. I think that's where that whole X thing started, where X Games athletes, where instead of pigeonhole them as cruiserweights or lightweights or junior heavyweights, go that route with them. You know what I mean? And that's kind of where it all came from what I understand. It was a little bit before I got to TNA. They really kicked ass with the X Division. Actually, guys like Consequences Creed. I mean, a lot of you guys know Consequences Creed is or was. And that is the man known in the New Day. Okay, Xavier Woods was Consequences Creed. Genevieve Holmes on Facebook Live, Joe was X Division champion. Thank you. Carlos said the same thing. So thank you, thank you, thank you. So, X Division has a lot of great history. I'm getting from my show here, Joe was X Division champ 4 times. I didn't know that. There you go. So anyway, that's the deal on that. Back to talking about the NXT champion, if I can shift gears back to that here. Drew McIntyre. So I really think that, it was a big miss by the WWE not to already let this guy get some kind of receipt or at least acknowledge it this week, either from afar, maybe not at the building, maybe like on a cell phone or like whatever, he Skypes in or he FaceTime to have it taped, something, just some acknowledgement like, hey, Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, I'm coming for you. Me alone, I'm coming for you, that type of thing. You got to let him either get a receipt or acknowledge it strongly. I think the previous week he did, and that was after NXT TakeOver in Brooklyn when he won the title, but you got to have some consistency. This guy's your champ. You need to have consistency is consistency, especially what the freaking top guy who's a new champ. We got to galvanize this guy as the guy. Really? Come on, man. Triple H knows how to do this. They've done it with Finn Balor. They've done it with Bobby Roode with the Glorious thing right out of the box. You know, they know how to do this. You've got to make sure they did it with Nakamura. I mean, God, it goes on and on. I hope and I'm sure they'll put – I'm not – look, I'm not like throwing a grenade here saying, oh, my God, they dropped the ball completely forever on Drew McIntyre. Please, don't take me out of context. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is first impressions or early impressions last. And you had an opportunity here last night to give me Drew McIntyre beating somebody's ass in the ring, squashing someone, establish his finish or something, then getting on the mic or FaceTiming from afar. Or maybe an NXT camera is at a gym and he's... whatever, in the UK on some promotional tour, whatever, something. I need to hear him punk out and call those three guys bitches that he's going to get a receipt on those guys. I need to hear it. Or at least see him beat somebody up and acknowledge it. You can't blow him off. He's the friggin' new champ, and you didn't make him yet. I'm sure they will. Triple H does a good job at this, where he'll pick the speed up on someone. I don't know. I look at every show. You got to do and call and work every show almost like it's your last. So I think that's important, but whatever. It's neither here nor there, but I just think that's important on the whole, you know, Drew McIntyre situation as the NXT champ, in my opinion. I don't know how many people care right now that he's the champ. That's the thing. So you got to make us care about him. And when you blow off that he got his ass beat right after he won by three guys and you don't let him get a receipt or a comeback on these MFers, that's not good. That's not good at all. But be honest. Triple H, when you were champ, you never would have wanted that to happen, and nor should you. Not wrong. The shoot. I'm just being honest. Got to take care of the champs. In defense to Triple H and defense to NXT, they got 1 hour. I respect that. I got it. I know. They only can get so many guys over and girls over in 1 hour. I know that. I do understand that. Okay, Mark Lowell said Drew came out last week and got jumped again. That's right. He did get jumped. He did come out. I said that. I forgot he got jumped again. You're right. That's a good point. And he didn't get acknowledgement or receipt this week. Ah. I'm telling you guys, me as a former champ, that's a hill I'm dying on. I'm just letting you know. That's a hill that I'm dying on. Seriously. That's something that you got to. You got to. As the champion, you got to. You gotta. And maybe the kid did. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what goes on behind the scenes there, but I'm just telling you, like, it's very important. Then Almas wrestled Cesar Bonani, this big giant guy, who got a good look, you know, but he's working as a bottom guy right now. They had Selena Vega on commentary, who's with Almas in the characters, you know, as his valet or whatever. She's very good. She helps. She definitely helps balance and get over Almas, I think, in a good way. This is a physical match. Almas looked good. He's a good worker, this guy. You know, he can work. He's a physical son of a bitch. He got a quick win, so Almas wins the match. The thing is that I was a little perplexed. Like, you got Percy Watson. He's the one at the announce desk asking Selena Vega the questions, and my man was just struggling. Like, why have him ask the questions? Why not Mauro or Nigel? This is the least experienced guy at the desk. And I felt bad for the guy. Like, it just didn't come off good. You know, he was like the questions, it seemed like he was reading them or someone was feeding him the questions. And, like, he was trying to listen to the question. And then, like, well, it wasn't him. He was being, you know, handled how to ask the question. Like, he was being told. Well, he was reading it and not reading it fluently. You know, it just felt really disjointed for me. You know, it stuck out to me. So anyway, that's my deal on that. You know, but otherwise, I think Almas, you know, he's a pretty physical worker. He's got a good look. He's definitely got more muscular in the past several months. He looked like he maybe cut a few pounds. He looks a little leaner. I think he looks good. I definitely think he looks good. Looks real good. Hey, JB, we're going to go to the phones here to JB in Odessa, Texas. JB, you're on the Taz show. What do you say there, homie?
Hey, how you doing? How's the handle?
How are you, sir? What's up?
Not too much, man. I wanted to ask, it's a bit off topic from NXT, but it's something that I've been wondering for a long time. You were there around the time that Mr. Kennedy was there. What happened to the guy? It seemed like they had a rocket on the guy's back, and then all of a sudden he got let go, and he turned out to be a flash in the pan.
Well, kind of not. I mean, were you familiar with any of his work after what he did in WWE?
Yeah. I mean, I've seen he went to TNA, and I mean, he was a champion over there, but in WWE, it seemed like he was like shooting to the stars. He beat multiple world champions. He was a Money in the Bank winner.
Yep. Well, here's my thing. A big fan of Kennedy, Mr. Anderson. Thank you, JB, for calling. Big fan of his as a man and as a pro wrestler. I mean, I always was a fan of. I haven't talked to the guy in ages, but he's one of those guys. If you see again, if I saw him, we hug each other and laugh and shoot the shit. You know, Kennedy's the man. He's a good dude, Mr. Anderson, whatever you want to call him. You know, during that time in WWE, you know, you gotta understand, like, you know, sometimes I say it all the time, but it doesn't resonate a lot of times with fans. Like, I think there's just this preconceived notion or this confusion. Look, guys work and girls work so hard for so many years to get to the promised land of the WWE, to make that real money and to get that real exposure and all that kind of jazz. Once you're there, you're there for a little while. I don't think there's ever been a poll on this, but I would say 8 out of 10, maybe 8.5 out of 10 folks are like, damn, this kind of sucks. I'm not saying that happened to Kennedy, but I do know that he had some frustrations there, like a lot of us did at that time. And I wasn't even an in-ring competitor. I was a commentator. So I do know he had some frustrations, and because there were some things that happens behind the scenes there, and politics, which were heavy then, very heavy, during that era of the mid to late 2000s. Probably, I guess that was like, what, 2008, 2009, 2007. I'm getting bad with the years. There was a lot of political movement backstage, a lot of bullshit, as some would call it. And I think that Anderson, some of that happened there with Kennedy Anderson, whatever. Who's got heat with who doesn't have heat, who's got juice with the office, and who buries somebody. You know, that shit happens all the time in wrestling. I think it happens in the workplace, not just wrestling. You know, look, I'm just telling you that he's a pro's pro, Mr. Kennedy, Mr. Anderson, he's the man. I always had a great time calling his matches, dealing with him. I mean, just a good dude. It really is. It just really is. So where is he now? I'm not sure what he's doing. I have not followed what he's up to. I really don't know. I fell out of touch with him, but I look forward to seeing him down the road one day again soon. I'm sure I will someplace somehow. That's kind of how wrestlers are. You even ex-wrestlers, you bump into each other, you know. But shit happens, and I don't think he was brokenhearted when he and WWE split ways. John Dean on Facebook Live said, Mr. Anderson has his own wrestling school. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, that's news to me. I was not aware. Okay, John, thank you. I hope you're telling the truth. And it's not like Tony, who gave me the wrong spread on a Nebraska-Oregon game. That's good. Anyway, and a lot of people are putting on Facebook Live why he got fired from TNA or WWE or what. You know, all this kind of stuff. And, you know, a lot of the stuff, some stuff is speculation and rumors. And again, no matter how much I say it, a lot of you guys will just believe that what you read is always the truth. Jeffrey Clark doesn't believe my surgery was the truth. Your wrist is a work. Okay. Thank you. No problem. I'll show you the scar one day. Maybe soon. How about that? That's disgusting. So that's work. Okay. So that's a whole nother story. What a schmuck. Mm-mm-mm. A douche. Kind of, right? Douchey comment. Maybe you should leave my gimmick. I don't know. I guess there's some inside thing here. Hey, Ant, are you familiar with this? Or even you, Dennis, with this turtle thing on Facebook? What is this turtle thing? I'm confused what this is.
This is the first I'm seeing of it.
No idea what the turtle thing is.
Like, but I'm currently trying to research what exactly it is.
It's well, here's the good news. You will never hear it mentioned on the Taz Show again. How's that sound, guys? Good?
That sounds pretty awesome.
Perfect.
Awesome, right? On that note, we are going to break. Other side of break, I'm going to tell you which female should get the biggest push in NXT right now. Someone I'm high on big time. Coming at you. Fourth quarter city. Taz Show. Be right back.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Yeah. All right. Back here live on the Taz Show. Thursday edition. We're live on Facebook. Facebook.com/The Taz Show. Also live at TazShow.com. Streaming and screaming there. But again, Facebook, we are on. We're talking a lot about NXT, and I'm going to tell you about the next up in regards to female performers that I feel should get a big push. And speaking of female wrestlers, I want to say congratulations, because it's pretty cool for Nikki Bella. She's going to be on Dancing with the Stars on the ABC Network, as they call it. Dancing with the Stars, Nikki Bella, I think it's great. Good for her. And I'm happy for her, and I think she's going to do great. Awesome. I remember her and her sister when they first came into the company. I was a commentator on SmackDown. They were both really nice girls, and they still are. Last time I saw them both was at that SmackDown 900 show in Pennsylvania over there. And they came over and talked to me, how you been, blah, blah, blah. We can shoot the bill for both a little bit. Nice girls, really are. So, but that's really cool for Nikki that she's going to be on Dancing with the Stars. It's good for wrestling. Good. Good. It's good to get more people out there. And it's not, I love when I see people from the business doing stuff outside of the ring. You know, because it's hard. It's hard. Bring that music down. It's hard. Because I've lived it, and I've seen others around me that were pushed more than me or less than me, or had more popularity than me, or even less popularity than me back in the day, get typecast. And there's kind of a stigma sometimes on people that are from wrestling, you know, and I think guys like The Rock definitely helped break that. Cena in more modern day is helping break that. Rock is obviously Rocket Jones. Steve Austin helped break that a little bit, I would say. Batista doing a good job. Jonathan Coachman. You know, I mean, and there's other guys and girls, but I'm just saying, like, some of the people that jump out to my brain right now. I humbly say, in my realm, I feel I'm proud of what I've been doing outside of wrestling. You know, it's hard. It's hard, guys, because we get typecast. And we get stereotyped, you know, from the wrestling business. You know, it's a hard thing. It's a very hard thing. I've been on some things where I, like, casting calls and for different things years ago. I had an agent, and when I was, you know, he was like, you should be doing some stuff with, like, commercials or maybe some sitcom stuff. Like, it's not really me. I'm not an actor. I don't do that shit. You know, and it's like, yeah, no, you should. And I went in these, you know, it's like it's with these other people, you know what I mean? It's like these other actors that are actors, and like, oh, you're a wrestler. Oh, like, you know, it's like, and even the people that are doing the casting look at you like you're an idiot, you know? And I've talked to other people that have made a lot of money, made good money with some acting stuff in the wrestling business about this. And they were typecast, you know. So Ignacio Vasquez on Facebook Live, Taz, Mr. Worldwide. Ding. Exactly. I am Mr. Worldwide. So anyway, let me get back into my topic. I need to talk wrestling. That's all I know is wrestling. By the way, I want to say this. Sam Correa said Hogan was the first. You might be right. Thunder Lips is here in the flesh, baby. Rocky III. You might be right. Might be right that he's the first one to break out. There's a good chance of that, for sure. Anyway, back to what I was saying, because I got to talk wrestling, otherwise you people get mad. Talk wrestling, Taz. I don't want to hear you talk about nothing else. You don't know shit. Just talk about wrestling, you schmuck. Okay. I'll continue talking wrestling. Okay. No problem. So here's the thing. The female that I'm high on, and I've mentioned her in the past here on the Taz show, is Sonya Deville. Okay. Every time I see her, better and better. She's better and better in the ring. Looks more real, more real. She wrestled Zeta last night. She won the match. They're pushing her. Really cool package on this girl, Sonya Deville. I'm sure they're building her up because they're going to do a tournament. They have to. They didn't announce it yet for the NXT Women's title because no one's champ now. So I'm sure Sonya will be someone she better be in that final four once they get rolling, or in the finals, one-on-one Jones, final Jones. You know, obviously Ember Moon is someone that's going to get pushed to the moon, pun intended, in that thing. You know, I also think obviously Ruby Riott will be pushed hard, and she should be. I'm sure the girl from Sanity, what is her name? Help me. Someone, please. What's
Nikki
her name?
Cross.
Nikki Cross. Thank you. She will get pushed hard on that. But Sonya Deville, in this day and age, and I've talked about this in the past here on the show, in this day and age that wrestlers are all, and again, now I'm the stereotype, but so many wrestlers are, everybody's a shooter. You know, everybody does submissions and suplexes and kick pad Jones, and everybody's, I'm a tough guy and I'll shoot on you with my thumbs in. Everybody, right? That's kind of the feel for a lot. There's Sonya right behind me, actually. Sonya Deville. This girl here is able to rise above a little bit of all that, you know, and do it to another level. And she's doing a good job of it. She stays in the zone in her face, man. Her face is money, but she looks like she's not playing a part, which feels right to me. And I respect that. You could see it in her eyes. I can see it in her eyes. She believes in this character, and she believes in what she's doing out there. That is key. Her execution of joint locks and takedowns is very good, too. Extremely good. Her look, her physique is perfect for this gimmick. The whole thing, the robe, the whole gimmick, everything. She's got the package on this thing. She doesn't look like a Barbie doll, either. She looks like a tough girl. She looks like a tough chick from Jersey. That's what she looks like. And that she is. And it's great. I'm a fan. And I think that she's someone that they should definitely push hard. And they're giving her a nice push right now. They really are. I think she does excellent stuff. You know, and they've done a good job, man. This is where I said some stuff earlier about, you know, Triple H not booking certain things the way I think should be done and me critiquing him. Now I'll put him over. It's hard to replace girls like Charlotte and Bayley and Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks, you know, and now Asuka. You know, it's hard to do that, but Triple H, I even speculated on the air, he's going to have it's an ambitious task. Now you got to do it. Can you do it? And he did. He did do it. I mean, because he's getting some of these girls, like I mentioned, from Sonya, no particular order, Ember Moon, Ruby Riott, Nikki Cross. I think I'm missing someone. He's getting these girls over, and they're getting themselves over. They're getting the right push, and it's working. It's working good. I think so. And again, tough thing to fill the shoes of some of those ladies I mentioned that are either on Raw or SmackDown right now. That's why, you know, I feel like if you would have had someone, like I said at the top of the show, someone at the tail end attack or drop Asuka in that celebration where the locker room came out to the stage, which I have to be honest, just being honest, it felt contrived. It felt like Asuka knew that was going to happen. I don't know if they tried to replicate something that was done with me when I left ECW. I don't know. In Chicago. And I wrestled Tanaka and Mike Awesome. And I lost in a three-way early. And I was eliminated. And then the locker room came out to the stage. And Paul came out. I didn't know that was going to happen. Everybody knew I was leaving. The audience knew I was going to leave. Going to WWE. And And I got emotional, man, when I saw, I started crying, man. It was hard. I saw a lot of the boys, and a lot of those guys I didn't get along with, and a lot of them I did get along with. But you know what? They were there. And I felt like, especially the guys that I didn't get along with that well were there. I felt like that was a cool thing. That was a cool, respectful thing, and I was honored. And I'm still, you know, it was a great moment for me. I remember it. I could see it like like it's happening now. I mean, it was, I remember it. You know, it was wild, and I had no idea that that was going to happen. You know, it was very cool, and I'll never forget that. But last night, I say this humbly, I thought of that moment that I had in Chicago, and you know, I saw what they did with her last night, Asuka, and then I'm thinking, that's similar to what happened in Chicago, but it's not, Asuka's not that she has to get emotional, but she didn't seem like, she's like, all right, this is the part where these girls are going to come walk, these talents are going to walk out to the stage. All right. It seemed a little contrived. Maybe they should have got closer to the ring. Maybe she should have reacted better, Asuka. I don't know. It just didn't seem like a real feel good, great moment. And those people on the stage will all clap for her and they all respect her. And you know, I'm just giving my perspective on it. I mean, maybe you guys disagree, and that's fine. You know, you're entitled to that, obviously. I'm just telling you how I felt about it. For someone that's actually lived that moment, for real. You know, I don't know. I just it's tough to replicate real emotion, and it's tough to act for real emotion. That's why sometimes it's better maybe not to tell Asuka that these people are going to come to the stage. So then she reacts and gets emotional. That's where Paul Heyman was a pretty smart booker. You know, he knew how to bring out that emotion, because I didn't know that that was going to happen, like I said, in Chicago. Anyway, I got off my point, but my point is I would have used the opportunity to have one of those other girls get the rub and beat the piss out of Asuka and drop her and have Regal and Triple H and all them pull the girl off and like yell at her and scream at her. Similar to what they did at the end of the UK tournament with Pete Dunne. And everybody loved it. Oh, it was great. Oh my God. Pete Dunne attacked the dude and when they were all in that semicircle on the stage. These are all the finalists. And Pete Dunne attacked them because it felt real. It felt good. It made Pete Dunne. It was good shit. You know, that's what you do. It's easy. They had that opportunity last night. If she's not going to do the job, Asuka, on the way out the door, not that she didn't want to, I'm not saying that, not implying it either. If you're not going to have her do the job on the way out, then at least have someone get a strong rub from her, okay? And that means have somebody armbar her, suplex her, clothesline her, punch her, Ember Moon maybe, Sonya Deville, maybe all the wrestlers come to this ring or get on the apron. And they're all clapping for her around the apron of the ring, just like a horseshoe. So the hard camera shoots them. And Triple H is holding up her arm. And what's his name? Regal's got the belt. And all of a sudden, Sonya Deville comes in and just back round kicks out. Ba-boom! Right in the back of the friggin' head and drops Asuka. Everybody's like, what the fuck are you doing? Holy shit! And go to black. And go off the air. Wow. Don't have to be Sonya Deville. It could be Ember Moon, too. That's called money, kids, okay? That's called money, you know? So Sophie Reyes says, isn't she hurt? Yeah, I think she is hurt, but she could take a front bump. I think her shoulder is hurt. I don't think it's too hard for her to take that kind of bump or do something. You can't, being that she's it, you can't have it like she's going to get like beat up because of her shoulder. I think it's her shoulder. But she could take a bump or do something or get kicked or something, but she crumbles. Don't hit her in her shoulder area, just, you know, something. Just think you got to do something to give that rub to somebody else. I just think it's very important. So that's the thing. I mean, because that's how you really, truly are going to get people over. I mean, when you give that rub. Otherwise, you got to build. Now, they're going to have not that it's a tough task, and they'll do a good job, NXT and Triple H and these guys. They got to build people throughout this tournament. And they've been doing tournaments really well. I mean, Mae Young tournament and UK tournament. Geez, there's so many other tournaments. I'm losing track of the tournaments that we've seen in the past couple of years. I'm going to tell you something real quick, though. I remember years ago, like, I guess it was towards the end of my time that before I left WWE and then going to TNA during that era, I remember like being in meetings with agents or talking to people at high level in the business and just talking creative or coming up with different concepts. And tournaments were like almost frowned upon, dude. This is a shoot too. Like tournaments were like, that's easy booking. That was the riff on it, you know? And now it's like everybody does tournaments. Like tournaments are cool. It's easy, dude. Tournament. It's easy booking. Who doesn't like a tournament? And it's easy to book it because it's a work. So you could advance who you want, obviously, you know? But I remember, I'm telling you, not too long ago, where behind the scenes in certain companies, tournaments were frowned upon. Oh, no, that's easy. That's too easy. Cheap heat. It's like going in a ring and, you know, you're in the middle of, you know, you're in Dallas, Texas, and you're cutting a promo and you want this guy to be a heel. You know, there's nothing that sucks more, okay, not just in the state of Texas, but in this country, than cowboys, especially those damn Dallas Cowboys. That cheap heat shit like that. Oh, you suck. You know, that's cheap heat. Now, I did it. We all have done it as heels. I remember whenever I go work up in Boston, they'd give me the mic in a house show, and I'm cutting promos on the Red Sox, the Patriots. It was hysterical, you know, just making people crazy. Nomar Garciaparra was sitting in the front row. The guy wanted to jump the guardrail and kill me. I was ripping him and his teammates. It was hysterical. Now, the house show in Boston, please, give me a break, Nomar. Sit down before I hurt you. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, you got to think about these tournaments now. I think that it's just because it's easy booking, it doesn't mean it's bad booking. But I just think it's funny that for me to know some stuff that I've heard and been in rooms with booking and stuff, that tournaments were frowned upon. And, you know, now it's like they're everywhere, you know, so and it's fine. I think PWG, they do a lot of tournaments, too. That's like a big part of their gimmick. You know, a lot of wrestling companies, not just, you know, Ricky Maldonado, did you talk NXT yet? All caps and an LOL. Look at this guy. He's Protection Jones. Yes, yes, Ricky, good job. You get the humor. And I get you, my friend. I get you. So I'm going to watch a little bit more of the Mae Young, the final. I think they're in the semifinals now. I'm going to watch some of that. And definitely going to check that out. James Tirado saying, Mae Young Classic put me to sleep. I don't know, man. It's not that bad. I mean, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I did watch, like I said last night, I watched a little bit of it. I thought it was okay. I didn't hate on it. Tamina Alexander, good morning, Taz. Well, Tamina, it's a good moment. This is not Tamia or Tamina. It's a new Tamina. I think I said her name right. We say good moment here. We don't say good morning because it's evergreen. Mike Johnson, the PW Insider Report, he deemed it a good moment. Because when we say good evening or good morning or good afternoon, that's not evergreen. So if someone's listening to the podcast, it gets annoying. Why this some bitch saying good morning to the human suplex machine? Meanwhile, it's 10 p.m. up here. So, you know, you got to keep it evergreen. So we go good moment if someone's listening to the on-demand content. Harold J. Taylor says, good event, Taz. Interesting. Should I say good event instead of good moment? Oh, no, I think he means Mae Young. Okay, got it. I was joking. So that's the deal. What else we can go on? I think that's really it, to be honest with you. We got the NFL starting tonight, right? We got the Chiefs and the Pats. They are called the Patriots, yes. So my fantasy in the fantasy loose ass invitational, I have two defenses. I have the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I have the Chiefs. I will be benching the Chiefs, and I will be starting the Steelers, because the Chiefs, I think, will not get a lot of points as a defense in fantasy against the Tom Brady, that bum. So we shall see what happens. Tariq Hill will run amok and run crazy. You two people that are on this, that work in the studio there in New York, you're in the Loose Ass Invitational. Which member of this fantasy football league that we have has Tariq Hill? Do you, any of you guys know?
Ant said he did.
Ant, you got Tariq Hill?
I do, and I will be starting it. Hopefully it doesn't backfire.
No. I think you're gonna. I think he's on fire. He's gonna be on fire. This kid's gonna have a good year.
Yeah,
he's a small dude. Was that?
You know the Belichick. He's very good at game planning guys out of the game.
Mm-hmm. Belichick. Rumor has it we're wearing a Apple Watch. That's what I heard. That's what someone told me. He's wearing an Apple Watch. So we shall see what happens. Yeah. So the football season starts tonight. So people will enjoy the game. I will have to sit through and watch the Patriot game. I'll be rooting for the Chiefs big time. My Bills play on Sunday against the Jets, which is called the Taz Bowl. That's what that's called, because I'm a former Jet fan. This is the only time I root against the Jets is when they play the Bills Mafia. So that's my team. Excuse me. Unprofessional, great way to end the show. So that's the deal. On that note, we're wrapping up here. No fifth quarter for you. Sorry, not happening. Gave you just about 2 hours of streaming and screaming, and that's what it is. We'll be back tomorrow with another live edition of the Taz Show. I don't know if I'm going to be back in the studio tomorrow. I'll definitely be back in the studio a few days next week. If I'm not from the Cave Studio or Studio Cave, I'm still working with the team on a name for this. Okay, on that note, thank you everybody here. There, I should say, New York City, working on the show. And all you people engaging on Facebook Live or Twitter, give me a chat. Thanks, guys. I'm Taz, you're not. Later. My top friends, now my circle is getting smaller. All these people acting fake, man. And to be honest, I don't even have a top 10. Me against the world, I've been doing what I really love. Haters been hiding behind the screen, man. They movie cuts. And when I'm back at home, it never feels the same. Cause we've been doing our own thing, trying to stay up. I want to go back to days with no grades. We ordered the kids meal, play ball, that's all day now. I'm stuck looking at this Instagram page, but these likes on my picture don't result in getting paid now. I've been wondering where the party at, cause all of my concerns got me